Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs 24, 2 Kings 7. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord," little l, everybody say little l, "then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but you will not eat thereof." Verse 3, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die?" I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm getting up. Get out of my way. Get on board. Or get run over. That should be your mantra, everybody you meet. Get out of the way, get on board, or get run over. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of God. There's a famous saying made famous by one of the greatest preachers of all time, Bishop T.D. Jakes, that says, my setback is my setup for my comeback. He made that famous, but it is not original to him. It is original to one of our friends who's preached here before, Dr. Willie Jolly. My setup or my setback is my setup for my comeback. Understand that the devil will do everything he can do to stop you. He will do everything he can to get you not to be what God has called you to be and to do what God has called you to do. The devil did his best to keep you from getting saved. He did his best to keep you from hearing the gospel. Once you heard the gospel, he did his best to keep you from responding or acting on what you have heard. Now that you've heard the gospel, and most of us sit here saved and we're believers and we're followers of Jesus Christ and we've allowed him to transform our life, Satan would love nothing more for us to turn loose of the plow, for us to turn our backs on what God has said and who God is in our life. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus has made a difference in my life. And the difference, I thought I'd get a better amen right there. Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And the difference that Jesus has made in my life and in your life should be so impactful that when the devil shows up trying to get us and bluff us and lie to us to get us to turn our backs on God, we should be able to say, devil, what you are offering is no comparison to what I already have. Therefore, I'm not going to turn loose of what God has blessed me with to grab something that is lesser than. Come on, somebody. Everything that God has promised to you is available. His promises are yea and amen. And anything that God has promised you or given to you, anything the devil could promise or give you, is a step down and a step back. But I'm not here to step down. I'm not here to step back. I'm here to step into my future. I'm here to step into what God has promised. I'm here to step into the favor, into the blessing of God, into the overflow. And so my setback is merely a setup for my comeback. Last night, Miss Jamila preached an amazing word to our young people and young adults on phobophobia. It's the fear of fear. And having fear grip your life causes you to do things that you normally would not do. And God gave me a word while we were praying and laying hands for young people on the altar. And that word was this, that the devil attacks you at the point where God is getting ready to do his biggest breakthrough in your life. So when the devil comes against your marriage and likes to bring fear and all of these thoughts into your life about your marriage, get ready, because God's getting ready to do his best work in your marriage than has ever been done. You understand, when the devil fights your finances, you ought to get excited about that. Why? Because if that's where the devil picked chose to pick on me, that's where God's getting ready to do his biggest work in my life. You ought to get excited. You shouldn't hang your head, and you shouldn't shouldn't run for cover when the devil shows up. You ought to understand that when the devil shows up, it's a sign that I'm about to be promoted. That's why I'm not stepping back. That's why I'm not going down. That's why I'm going on in Jesus. The devil is my indicator. Whatever he touches is what God's getting ready to touch. Whatever he speaks against is what God is getting ready to speak up for. I've come to tell somebody today that the devil's been messing with you all year long, but whatever he has been messing with you in, get ready for the greatest harvest and outpouring in that place in your life. If you receive that, somebody say amen. So when I'm set back, I understand that I'm already set up for a comeback. When the devil does all he can do to get me to a place where I don't believe or I stop or I quit or I don't pursue the things of God, that is when I can dig my heels in and say, God, I am ready to see what you are about to do on my behalf. So here in 2 Kings, we see the story of the four lepers. But before we get to the four lepers, that's just a sidebar in this story. But the nation, God's people are racked with one of the greatest, if not the greatest, famines of their time. Now, when you see the word famine means that there is a lack of necessary provision. That there is no rain, and no rain affects, of course, the harvest and the fruit and all of the food. And once they did not have food, things began to come and grind to a halt. And so the famine had gotten so bad that in the preceding chapter, two women came up with an idea to eat each other's children. And you know, when cannibalism is an option on the table, it's bad. And we might not be talking about physical cannibalism in the church today, but I see spiritual cannibalism all the time. I see church people turn on other church people and feed on them. Come on now. And it is a direct response to a famine or not having enough of one thing in our lives that causes us to do crazy things. We don't call it cannibalism. At my house, we call it being hangry. That's being hungry to the point that you become angry. Now, y'all, I'm eating right. It's tough on me, y'all. Pray for me. I'm down 18 pounds in the last 5 weeks. Praise God. I haven't been able to wear this shirt in about 4 months. If I tried to wear this shirt January 1st, I would have popped a button and we'd have to pray for Brother Kevin's eye. But I get hangry, y'all, because I'm eating right. Now, I got a cheat day on Friday. Now, the cheat day on Friday, I planned that thing all week long. I make plans. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. Pastor Mandy is on this journey with me. And so this past Friday, I said, Pastor Mandy, this is what we're going to do. That sounds good. We're going to go have dinner here. And then we're going to go to the movies. And we're going to Alamo Draft House, which means we can eat during the movie. It's going to be great. We're going to eat before the movie, during the movie. Then we can have Whataburger after that. It's going to be awesome. So Pastor Mandy, she picks Friday as the day that she goes to get her hair did. Now listen, I don't understand hair problems. Brother Kevin, Brother Michael, Brother Luther, we agree. We don't understand the hair problem. Now when I go down here to UC Barbershop, I sit there and I argue sports for about an hour while I'm waiting. But when I sit in that chair, it's about a 15-minute shave and I'm out the door. Pastor Mandy said, I'm going to go get my hair done at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. I'm thinking, all right, 9 o'clock, she'll be done by 9:45. We can go to brunch, lunch, afternoon lunch, first snack, second snack, third snack, dinner, Alamo Draft House dinner, Whataburger after Alamo Draft House. I said, all right, Pastor Mandy, meet me at the church at 5:30, 5:15. Where are you at? I'm still sitting in the chair. Wait, what? You're getting your hair done still? Are they adding new hair? Are they growing hair? What's going on over there? 5:30. Where are you at? I'm still sitting in the chair. Now my hunger has crossed over to anger. And so I send a group text to everybody going to dinner. Dinner's off. Mandy's still sitting in the chair. Now, that was a bluff, y'all. That was a bluff to get her out of the chair. But I was hangry to the point that I was willing to have Pastor Mandy be mad at me and to not go to dinner with me just because I got so hungry that I started acting in a way that I normally would not act. All joking aside, how many times in our lives have we been so hungry for something and not willing to do what we need to do to have that hunger filled that we start being angry with the people around us that we are closest to? Or we start turning an angry ear towards God or angry mouth towards God and say, God, you said that you would fill me. You said that I wouldn't thirst again. And here I am in the middle of the biggest famine of my life. And I might not be talking to those of you that your life is perfect, and we praise God for that. But I'm talking to somebody that it's been a long time since you ate good in the spirit. It's been a long time since God has shown up and done something that only God can do. And I'm here to tell you, do not let the hunger of your spirit turn into an anger where you start cannibalizing the things that are most important to you, and you start cannibalizing the valuable things that God has placed in you. Can I encourage you, get around a man of God that is going to speak on God's behalf and say, it's about to rain, the famine is about to end. And I might be that person for you today, or you might be sitting next to that person today, but I want to encourage you, it's not going to always be like it is today. That's what faith does. Faith says, in the middle of the famine, in the middle of my growing pains, God, I hear you. In the middle of, God, what's going on around me, I might go to bed with my stomach growling, but I know I'm going to wake up to a harvest. I know I'm going to wake up, God, and you will have prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. Who am I talking to today that you've been hungry but you haven't been filled? I'm here to tell you, before you leave this place today, God is getting ready to feed you. Jesus is the bread of life. He will load his benefits upon you daily. Don't get hangry at God. Be so hungry that it pushes you into the presence of God like you've never been before. So everybody is hungry, hangry to the point that cannibalism is now an option on the table. These two mothers get together. They both have infant children, toddler children. And so they say to one another, let's eat your child today, and then tomorrow we will boil and eat my child. And so they eat the first woman's child, and then when it's time to eat the second woman's child, she has hid that child. Because how many of you know, if you're hungry enough, you'll say and do anything? So the deal has been broken, and now we fast forward into the first verse of chapter 7, and the king is sitting there, and the man of God comes to the king and says, I know it's in the middle of famine, and I know that everything is at an all-time high, but I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to do something tomorrow. Somebody praise God. That in the next 24 hours, something is about to change. In the next 24 hours, something new is about to show up. And can you believe that the man that is the right hand to the king, the one that the king would lean on, say, I do not believe that would happen unless God would open a window of heaven. Well, doesn't he know that we serve a window opening God? You are going to have people in your life when God says he's going to do it, they're going to say, the only way that could happen is if God would literally have fish bring coins in their mouth. I'm glad you said that, because that's the kind of God I serve. Well, the only way that Lazarus is going come back to death is Jesus would have to show up, roll the stone, and bring him back to life. I'm glad you said that, because that's just what my God does. The only way you're going to make it to the other side is if you actually got out the boat and began to walk. I'm so glad you said that, because that's what kind of God I serve. I'm here to tell you that when God says it, you can take it to the bank. That when the word of God is spoken, you better grab it, you better believe it, you better activated, because tomorrow about this time we're all going to be eating good. Somebody praise God. Hey. There's four lepers sitting at the city gate. They've been kicked out. We won't go through all of the semantics that leprosy brings. Their families have been robbed. Their bodies are breaking down. Every minute they live is one more moment closer to death. And they sit there. But remember, they're dying. Four lepers dying. But they're dying on the inside too. They're dying on the inside of the city walls. Four lepers. And they begin to look at each other. And this is what they say. Are we going to sit here until we die? Now, I was going to preach this someplace different until I really read the text. Because I was going to preach that one leper said, are we going to sit here until we die? And I was going to preach that it only takes one in a group to change. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they said one to another. It began to dawn on them. Come on now, it matters who you're sick with. Come on. It matters who you're broke with. If I'm ever in lack, I don't want to be around people that don't believe God can do it. And so they're sitting there, four of them, and they begin to say, you know what, we're going to die here anyway. They're dying on the inside. They said, if we try to go into the city, we're going to die. They won't let us in. They're dying in there. If we stay here, we're going to die. But if we go to our enemy's camp, they might let us live. Or they might kill us. They said, at the end of the day, what do we have to lose? We're all going to die anyway. I don't want to get too morbid here today. But what have you got to lose as a believer? We're all headed to the city in the sky called heaven. We're all headed to the presence of God. We're all going to walk on streets of gold. And whether it's in 2018, 38, or 2088, that is our home. That is heaven. That's where we're going. We are just sojourners. We are just walking through. And when you get that kind of attitude, the devil, you don't know who you're. I got nothing to lose. I'm going to go down fighting. I'm going to step forward fighting. I'm going to go to sleep fighting. I'm going to wake up fighting. I'm going to fight the fight of faith. Every day of my life, I'm getting up. I'm not staying like I am. I'm not going back to where I used to be. God, you've called me for greater. I've got nothing to lose. I need somebody with a David spirit to jump up on their feet and say, Goliath, you might be bigger than me, but you're not bigger than my God. I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Woo! Praise God, praise God, praise God. Four lepers. These four lepers in my mind are like Snow White and the seven little people. I can't say the other word. It's no longer politically correct. Snow White and the seven little people. You had Sneezy, Dopey, Hangry. I don't know if he was one of them, but he's in the mix somewhere. There's four lepers. The first leper is negative. And you're going to have to escape negativity if you're going to get up. Can I tell you that honestly, I'm a negative person, that I've got to fight through that every day of my life. I've got to fight in faith to kill negativity and produce something positive and faith-filled in my life. You say, Pastor Brandon, you're a pastor. You shouldn't be negative. I'm just a man. I go through the same things that everyone else goes through. I'm just transparent about mine. Most pastors are not transparent. I'm blessed that I'm married to a positive woman, a faith-filled woman. I'm blessed that I've got a mother who is a positive and faith-filled woman. I'm blessed that I've got a daughter who is a positive and faith-filled person. And I'm here to tell you, I need all three of them to get through the day. Because if I allow the negative thing, I would never do anything. I'd sit down and I'd stay down. When I get knocked down, I would stay down. But thanks be to God, I've got enough Holy Ghost in me. I've got enough Holy Ghost for me. I've got enough faith that I've heard. Now listen, if I'm dealing with negativity, I've been here for 36 years, three services minimum a week for 36 years, and I need it every single Sunday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And listen, if I don't get something on Monday and Tuesday through a podcast or me opening up the Word of God, I'm going to be a negative Nancy. But I'm here to tell you, I'm killing negativity every day. I'm not going to allow that negativity to keep me sick, to keep me leprous, and to keep me bound. I am shedding the negativity in my life. Jesus is the reason that I can live a positive life. If it wasn't for Jesus, Fox News would do me in. If it wasn't for Jesus, CNN would kill me. But because I have Jesus and the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've got faith-filled people all around me, I can face the day and say, negativity, you're not going to keep me here. Why are we going to sit here until we die? Negativity, I'm leaving you right here, and I'm going where God has called me to be. The second leper is lazy. Now, I'm not lazy, y'all. While y'all were probably still snuggled up in your post-fiesta slumber, this morning I was out cutting brush, stacking brush, loading brush, hauling brush, dumping brush before I ever came to church. Now, I took a shower. Praise be to God. You can come to the altar in a moment if you need to. Don't be scared. I'm not lazy. And you know why I'm not lazy? Because I wasn't given the right to be lazy growing up. Come on now. Come on. Sister Tammy's getting it. She's got it. She's letting somebody back there. And I think it's Kevin Jr. I don't know. I remember my dad waking up, Sean and I, on Labor Day. Get up. Wait a minute. It's a holiday. He said, Labor Day means you work twice as hard. Get up. He rolled us out of bed at 7 a.m. We'd be out there driving post holes, cleaning out stalls, digging water lines, trenching, all of those things. We're not lazy. I got a boy right there. He's not lazy. Yesterday he woke up and waxed his grandfather's truck and washed his grandfather's truck. Now he's expecting a little moolah for it, but the Bible says if you work, you get to eat. If you work, you make some money. And so we're raising them. Now, Jaden, I'm trying to get Jaden out of the house a little more. And so I had Jaden out there power washing my fence this past week. You said, that's child labor. No, it's free labor. And it's actually not free because I give her, I don't make her pay rent. I buy her whatever she wants to eat. I buy all of those things Pastor Man and I provide for. You can't complain about what God isn't doing if you're lazy. And we might not be talking about a 9-to-5 job. We might be talking about your praise style, lifestyle. We might be talking about how much you worship. We might be talking about how much you get in the Word. Well, God, I want the blessings of Abraham on my life. I want wherever my foot to. Well, listen, we need your hands to do something before your feet can touch anything. We need you to get, you say, Pastor Brandon, I don't have a job. Well, your job for 40 hours a week is to look for a job. I would start right down here at the Chevron at Pat Booker, and I'd go in there and say, do you have a job? Would you hire me? If they say no, you're going to go right down to the Valero. If they say no, you're going to go down to Popeye's Chicken. If they say no, you're going to go down to Taco Bell. If they say no, because everywhere I go, there's one sign in front of every business I see. Now hiring, apply within. If you want the blessings of God, you're going to have to work your faith. You're not going to say, well, I'm just going to sit here on the city steps in front of the city gate, and if God wants to heal me, he's going to have to show up and heal me. Or you can say, you know what, whether God heals me or not, I'm moving forward. While God heals me or not, I'm not going to die hungry. If I die from leprosy, I'm going to die with a full belly. Somebody say yes. Third leper is the leper of apathy, the apathetic, that I just don't feel like doing it. Indifferent. Yeah, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Too many of our young people are being raised that way. It is what it is. It's the hand I've been dealt. If I get up and go to work, not, that's fine. If I lose that job, I'll go get me another job so I can make me $250 so I can use it all up on Friday and Saturday and start the whole process again. Nothing changes. Everything stays the same. The only thing that stays the same is Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as a believer, I should not stay the same. I should be becoming more like Jesus every day of my life in the way that I talk, in the way that I walk, in the way that I move, in the way that I govern my family, in the way that I govern this church, in the way that I move about the community. They should see more of Jesus and less of Brandon every day of my life. No more apathy. No more sitting on the pew saying, well, I hope they sing my favorite song. No more sitting on the pew saying, well, if my favorite preacher ain't preaching today, I'm just going to zone out and I'm going to get on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and pin some things and like some things and share some things. That is the apathetic attitude. We don't need apathy in the church. We don't need lethargy in the church. We need somebody to say, God, if I'm the only leper that wants anything, I will get all I can from you, and I'm not going home until I have filled my myself. The final leper, and I got to hurry, is hopeless. There's no reason for me to get up. I'm a leper. There is no healing. Remember, this is before Jesus now. Jesus hadn't healed any lepers. Lepers contract leprosy and die a very painful, agonizing death, not only physically, but emotionally. It takes the toll because their family has been ripped from them. They can't hold their children. They can't see their wives. They are dismissed to the outside of the city, which causes a hopeless feeling. And hopeless people are like hangry people. Hopeless people that have nothing to lose do crazy things. I'm here to tell you, you're not hopeless. You're hopeful. You're full of hope. Abraham said, I hope against hope. Hope is the birthplace of faith. Hope is the birthplace that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Anytime I preach on hope, I make this point because somebody came against me on social media a few years ago, and I just shared a post on hope, and they said, what you're giving people is false hope. I said, on the contrary, there is no such thing as false hope, because that's what hope is. Because his point was is that you're causing people to believe that it's going to be better than it is today, but it might not be. That's what hope is. See, I wake up hoping tomorrow is going to be better. If tomorrow's not better, guess what? I continue to hope that the next day. And if Wednesday's not right, I hope that it's Thursday. But eventually, I love this, hope gives birth to a baby called faith. And hope doesn't change things. Hope just changes your mind. Faith changes your spirit. And when hope gives birth to faith, faith says, I know that God is going to show up and show out in my life. Praise team, come. Four lepers. Why sit we here until we die? They begin to walk towards the enemy's camp. And I love this because the writer of Kings doesn't tell us what happens until after the fact. They're walking, four of them walking. And listen, it might not be that great of a walk. They're missing toes. They're missing arms. Their balance is off. I mean, you think of The Walking Dead. That's what it looked like. I'm talking about these guys are torn up from the floor up, dragging. But as they make their way, they don't know what's happening by them getting up and starting to move. The host of the enemy's camp, they hear something. They hear something that they don't like. Do they hear the four lepers? No, they don't hear the four lepers. But the Bible says they fled in such a way that they left their gold, their silver. They left food in the ovens. Come on now. The Bible says in the King James, they left their asses. I'm just going to leave that there. It's all right to laugh. Go ahead and laugh. Thank you for that, Brother Michael. I appreciate that. They left everything. And these four lepers show up. And they think that it's a trick. They say, can you believe? Can you believe that the four of us have shown up and we were scared that we were going to die and nobody's left? This is what it says. Verse 6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Whether they arose and fled in the twilight and left their, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, left their horses, left their asses, even as the camp was, and they fled for their life. I need a little audience participation. I need everybody to start going like this. All right, that's good. Now I need everybody to do that and this. All right, stop. Every time I take a step, I need you to do that for me. Stop. See, whenever I quit moving, the sound stops. Oh, you didn't get it over here. Whenever I quit moving, the sound stops. But when I start moving, come on, somebody start making some noise with their mouth too. Oh, come on, this ain't a Spurs game. Come on, we're talking about warfare. Cry. Yeah. Somebody stand up on your feet now and do it.
See, I might be one person, but when I start moving the way God has called me to move, when I start moving how God has told me to move, it's not just me, but there's a host from heaven. There's a sound from heaven that begins to sound. There's a sound that comes from heaven that strikes fear in the enemy's heart. I'm here to tell somebody today that you say, Pastor Brandon, it's just me. I'm all by myself. It might just be you on the earth, but there is a host in heaven that when you begin to move the way God has called you to move, when you begin to advance and not go backwards and not stay down, but when you say, I'm getting up, Pastor Brandon, and I'm moving towards, God is going to send a sound. Your praise is that sound. Your movement is that sound. Your worship is that sound. And you're not going to have to fight the enemy, because when you show up and you walk it out, the enemy will flee, not from you, but from the presence of the God you serve. I love this. I love this. There's more, but we're done. We're done. I love this. One more thing. The Bible says that the first thing they did was they ate. They didn't gather the gold and silver. They ate. If I die, I'm going to die with my belly full. They ate until they were, I'm talking about they could. I mean, it was Thanksgiving, unloosening belts. They put on their eating pants. Went and got their maternity clothes back out with the little panel out front. They went and they got gold, silver, and they went and hid it. You know what I love about that? They were healed as they went, but they're healed in such a way that they're hiding stuff, meaning I'll be back. I'm not going to die. I thought I was going to die till I started moving. When I started moving, I started feeling better. When I started feeling better, I started seeing hands come back. I started feeling my ear be fashioned back. And I love this. One of them says, hold on now. What if something bad comes tomorrow because we didn't tell somebody what we found? There's a city dying behind us that will live if we go and tell them. The Bible says they marched back to the city and called up to the king. Hey, king, there's enough food for the entire city. There's donkeys, there's camels. There's beast of burden, there's ox, there's cows, there's gold, there's silver, everything you need. They raise their voice to the king. What we would call that is praise. Hey, king, everything I need, you've given it, God. Everything that I needed, God, it's right in front of me. And I want to tell you, I thank you for everything I see, but I want to let everybody know I was broke, I was sick, I was messed up, I was hungry, but when I got up and started moving towards what God called me to move, not only did I get my fill, the whole city was saved. I'm talking to somebody today. This altar is open from corner to corner. I'm talking to somebody today that you need to start walking. You say, Pastor Brandon, I'm sick in my body. Start moving. Be like that leper that says, you know.